We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The premise here is a simple one. You got a Bears question. You got something eaten at the very part of your soul that screams Bears football over and over again deep into the night after a loss against the Green Bay Packers. You got that question, you can ask Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, because he's in for Dan Bernstein today and tomorrow. So we figured we'd knock a few Bears questions out of the way 1 week before camp. Sound decent enough to you?
Say, has it kept you up through June, through July?
Maybe.
You've just been waiting for this moment?
Maybe.
Maybe so. Hey, we're here to help.
312-644-6767. We'll accept them on the text line as well, 67011. You can, however, it's a couple of things to get out of the way, and I've got a question that I have to ask first because that's me, I guess. 312-644-6767. If you're so inclined and out and about in Vernon Hills tomorrow, I'm going to be out at the Comcast Xfinity store. Cubs Radio Network and Xfinity is letting you make the call. Come out and hang out. You get to make a play-by-play call at the Cubs Radio broadcast desk and enter for a chance to win Cubs tickets, Cubs suite tickets. All you got to do is go to the Vernon Hills Xfinity store, 701 North Milwaukee Avenue, tomorrow from 5 to 7. It's brought to you by Xfinity, exclusive Wi-Fi and wireless partner of the Chicago Cubs. As it pertains to the Bears, Rich, and as we kick off Ask Rich, 312-644-6767, you're in this clubhouse, you're in this locker room day after day after day. And the importance of the relationship between head coach Matt Nagy and quarterback Mitchell Trubisky cannot be overstated. The conversations have seemingly started out positively. The offensive system has seemingly been tailored to both be a modern offense and one that can lead Mitchell Trubisky to more production. What is it that you can look for? What is it that you and your fellow scribes will be looking for, like physically, tangibly looking for in camp to make sure that that relationship and that dynamic is going to grow?
First of all, it's completions. And throughout the offseason program, when they're just starting out, right? I mean, introducing the language and introducing the concepts, we were able to still see Mitch work through whatever you have to work through, right? Whatever you have to do in your own brain to memorize something and master it, okay? Mm-hmm. And from play to play, standing there on the sideline, and he throws one ball, and I go, ooh, that's a bad ball. And then on the next throw, he fits it in a tight window, you know, defender right on the hip of, say, Adam Shaheen. And you go, wow, good ball.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just the presence of those good throws that you say, okay, it gives you something to grab onto. And as long as you're building a bigger volume of good throws and the bad ones just start to diminish as you go forward, not even by September, right? I'm talking November, and then we'll eventually be able to see it in games. But the completions will tell us that it's clicking. Now, the other part of that is, how do you deal with the difficulties when it's not working well? And Mitch is so good about acknowledging this with us in the media, mm-hmm. which he really doesn't have to do. But he is very open, and I think he appreciates this process a lot, that he doesn't get rattled when things are going badly in practice. And he'll be the first to admit that there were times through the spring that that was the case, whether his footwork was not right or you're just not on the same page as the receiver in terms of cutting one way versus a certain coverage. He likes that. He likes that trial and error process, going back to the drawing board, figuring it out, mastering it. Okay, now we've got that down. That is going to help him connect with Nagy so much because Nagy's been there. He's been the quarterback, and that foundation really is what's going to allow this partnership to click and build.
Taking phone calls for Rich Campbell, Bears reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He's in for Dan Bernstein. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. First on the board in Rockford, it's Chris. Chris, what's on your mind, man?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Personally, I think that with an offensive-minded guy and all these new weapons coming in, I just have that, maybe it's just my naive feeling of excitement, you know, that this could be something. Do you guys think that there's enough there that they could even come out, maybe even be a top 15 offense in the league this year?
Yes, I definitely do. Now, if they're a 15 to 10, you know, if they've ranked in that area in total yards and their defense is top 10, they're going to win 9 games. And I think that would be a spectacular season for them. I would just say don't expect that, right? Just appreciate the build. And really, it starts with just an acknowledgement of how broken they were, how void of talent they were. And to go back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, about this remade group of players around Mitch, there's still a lot of unproven players in that group, whether it's Trey Burton ascending to a full-time role for the first time in his career, really maxing out a lightning flash in the second half of last season, or Allen Robinson, whose 2015 game film looks awesome. And then you go, man, that was 2015. That's not yesterday. And he's got to still prove that he can be that route runner and use his body well and be the available target for Mitch. So my whole thing is just find your personal happy space between that excitement and healthy skepticism that really is deserved after they've been bad for so long.
Make you feel better, make you feel worse, Chris?
I'm still just as optimistic, and I think you made a perfect point to the fact that they're all on that proving ground. You know, they all want to prove something, either via injury or depth chart or just kind of being sneered by the media, i.e. Kevin White, just because he's been hurt for so long. That drive alone is just going to push everybody to that upper echelon, that you'll find something really unique in this offense, I think.
Well, they've also cast the net wide. I mean, they didn't just go get a receiver. You know, they signed Taylor Gabriel and drafted a slot receiver.
That's right.
In the second round. So if one of them works, then you've got a core. And that's it, right? They're still building the identity, and it's so early. And Nagy, as I said, did a great job of reiterating that over and over again. He'll continue to do it, that it is early and the identity is going to form. It will be better at the end of this year than it is now. It'll be better next year than it is at the end of this year. And that is the big picture approach that you just can't forget when maybe they're losing games and it's not going as cleanly as
good,
you hope.
Good phone call from Chris in Rockford to lead things off. Appreciate it, my man. We'll step out to Orland Park where Ray is on the line. Ray, what's your question for Rich?
Hi, good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Checking in about the defensive line. Who is going to help Akeem Hicks and step up? Is it going to be Bullard? Is Goldman going to stay healthy finally? What's going to happen on the defensive line?
Ray, my man, that's my question. Since the draft, since preparing for the defense, who's your guy? That's been my question.
Well, Eddie Goldman has to be that guy. He's in a contract year. We'll see if the Bears lock him up before game one. I spoke to D-line coach Jay Rogers about this during the offseason, and he seemed really confident that Eddie is a more productive pass rusher than the sack numbers would give him credit for, would indicate.
You know, to me, that's a fair thing to look at. It's a fair metric to try and evaluate. Because just because you don't get there doesn't mean that you haven't affected a guy's release or affected a cornerback's ability to get a hand on the ball. It's tough to sell, though.
Agreed. And I think Jay Rogers can get the benefit of the doubt, understanding that he watches these in great detail,
probably
number one.
Fair.
But number two, also knows the responsibility of these players. So sometimes if you're running an inside stunt, let's say that it's going to be Eddie's job to occupy blockers and maybe let Akeem get free and get home so that he's doing his job. But I do think that the point about health for Goldman is a good one. He has not played 16 games in his entire time in the NFL. So you're looking for an extended period of durability. You need that. And with that comes more finesse to his game. And that's one thing Jay Rogers says he likes, that it's not just bull rush with him. He learns how to attack edges a little bit, use his hands a little bit better. The proof will be out there, though, right? I mean, we'll be able to see that. And the important thing, I mean, it goes to the heart of this question, is that They need that interior presence because the outside backer position is not stacked with proven pass rushers.
He's Rich Campbell, covered the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. It's Ask Rich, 312-644-6767. I figured we'd grab a bunch of calls here 1 week before training camp opens. And by the way, the Chicago Wolves are making big plans for the 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. A supplemental question to that one, then, the rush one, Rich. And if you can, we'll do it quick so we can get to more phone calls. If there are two outside guys, one or two outside guys who do pop this year, do you have picks for who those might be, or is it too early to tell at this point?
Probably too early to tell. I mean, there's a reason.
Now I'm going to make you give me two names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Lynch is a guy that you look at because of his past success, particularly as a rookie with Vic Fangio in San Francisco. Okay, well, fell out of favor with that organization, injury issues, and the organization came to not believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, let him walk. And he's a low-risk investment for the Bears, a player that you would seem to understand why they bet on. With a low investment, and if he can even be a situational rusher for them, more power to him. And then Sam Acho has done well enough.
Sure.
I think you would consider him more of a run-stopping edge setter. Kylie Fitz, the Bears like him best. You know, the sixth-round pick out of Utah, they like him best as a run-stopper and more of a developmental player as a pass rusher. We'll have to see how he does in preseason.
312-644-6767, the phone number to Ask Rich. It's Chip in Burbank. What's up, Chip?
Thanks, guys. I'll get right to my question. If the Bears were to go 3-3 within their own division, playing six competitive games, what do you think their season record might be then?
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at a season, Chip.
Okay, so you got 10 other games.
And remember what that division is. Remember what that division is.
Yeah, so if you are winning three of those games, that means you've got something, right? And I don't know the year-by-year division record going back, but that would be their best division record in a while.
Good.
Yes. So let's say you beat every team in the division once. Then you've got 10 games. You're playing an AFC East that has two playoff teams from a year ago, playing an NFC West that's down. I think the schedule is more favorable, at least at this stage, than a year ago. So you're probably, you know, you play the Giants, who be a little plucky. Maybe you're 8-8. Maybe you're 8-8. Maybe you're 9-7. And I think 8-8 would be an awesome season for them. Three more wins than last year. You take that any year in the NFL, three more wins than the year before.
As much as, and I hate this about myself, I would just add that to the list of things, but as much as I hate that I'm willing to, at some point, dismiss the idea of what wins and losses really mean for this team, because the development of this offense and Trubisky is so important, at least from my perspective, is so important. I get that, you know, you start to reach that level, like Chip's talking about, 3-3 in a division, and you will intrinsically have something then. You will, by point of fact, have something. For what it's worth, and we'll get to Jim in Maryville in just a second here, 312-644-6767 for Ask Rich. For what it's worth, your divisional games this year, it's at the Packers in week one. Then you've got the Vikings in week 11. You've got the Packers at home in week 15, then at the Vikings. Again, your two Lions games, by the way, week 10 and week 12, home and then in Detroit.
They're going to be underdogs in four, at least. We'll have to see what the Lions are. We'll have to see how the Packers
Lions home game,
retooled
maybe.
Offense works out. And I was interested to hear Florio bang the Vikings, right? Might not even make the playoffs. They've got a new quarterback. It'll be interesting to see what they are.
I think there's some, not to say that Florio's trendy or betting on a trend or whatever, but it has become a bit of a trendy bet to look at the Vikings and go, Kirk Cousins? I don't know. How much did you really add there? Out to Maryville, 312-644-6767. That's the phone number to Ask Rich your burning Bears question in Maryville. It's Jim. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Rich.
Hey, Jim.
As we were talking about earlier, how important wide receivers are, and I believe besides Mitchell on offense, the wide receivers are the second most important thing right now.
I agree.
And I can't remember the wide receiver's coach's name. And what do you know about him? Has he worked with Nagy before?
No. Mike Furry is their receivers coach. And in fact, this is their fourth receivers coach in four seasons. Kevin White has experienced, you know, just to talk about Kevin, because
sure,
he's obviously under a microscope again this season, but he's had a revolving door of position coaches here. The common thread with the guys that have been through, very high energy. Okay. In Furry's case, he was, I believe, an undrafted. Yeah, entered the league as an undrafted
free
agent.
He's got a little bit of red ass in him, doesn't he?
100%. So here's the point I'm getting at.
Which isn't bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. But there was a moment during offseason practice where he jumped all over Kevin White for not running a route with the intensity that Furry thought the route should be run with.
Hmm.
And made a mention about Kevin's draft pedigree, right, and the money that comes along with that. And it clicks in your mind, right, that a guy like Mike Furry, who played from 2003 to 2009 in the NFL with three different teams as an undrafted player. Okay?
5 foot nothing.
Yeah. You made something of yourself, yeah, right? Looks at a guy like Kevin White, who was drafted 7th overall and has missed 43 games in three seasons, and thinks to himself, if I had that kind of physical ability and physical gifts, you know what I could have done with my career, right? And not to say that there's a bitterness there, but you understand where the fire comes from, the red ass comes from.
Yeah.
We'll see whether Kevin responds to that well. I mean, look, I think obviously he just has to be healthy, and then he can showcase what he is. Can he still play fast? Yeah, can he still play fast? That's the question we'll be asking ourselves in training camp. But since Mike Furry's playing career ended, he's been a head coach at a couple of small colleges, Kentucky Christian, Limestone. He was a wide receivers coach at Marshall. So he was last at Limestone. I believe that's a Division II school.
I don't know Limestone. I pride myself in knowing some of the
South
smaller
Carolina
schools. I don't know Limestone. I lived in
Gaffney, South Carolina.
I have no idea where Gaffney is.
So it's not a guy who's worked with Nagy.
No, still.
But a guy who's played in the league.
Well, it's one thing to get criticism like that, constructive criticism from a coach. It's another to get it from Bud Norris, and hopefully Kevin's getting it from the right place. Ask Rich is running. So, no, I'm not offended by the fact that people are saying, hi, Rich, and ignoring me. It's fine. I don't have an ego or anything. It's not my birthday. It's fine. In Milwaukee, 312-644-6767. In Milwaukee, it's Nathan. Nathan, what's your question for Rich?
Hi, Rich and Connor.
Thanks, man.
I heard Ryan Pace say in an interview, kind of jokingly, but saying that Nagy really wants to go for it more on fourth down this year. Have you heard anything like that? Are the Bears going to be going for it more on fourth down this season?
That narrative has taken hold in part because of Doug Peterson. Obviously, that was a showcase during the Super Bowl and the way the Eagles had success, and the coaching tree branches there are very thick, and they go back to the same coach in Andy Reid. I would say this. If you go for it one time on fourth down, you are more aggressive than John Fox. So I think the contrast to all of us who will be watching these games not only will be apparent, but will be refreshing, that they will be a little bit more aggressive. I do think Nagy will go for it more on fourth down, and this is going to be an interesting part of our get to know you process about him. And I think it's going to be really important for us to monitor these situations in which he's willing to go for it plus 50 on the minus side of 50, what points in the game he's willing to do this. Then obviously if you're trailing, you've got to go for it. But
yeah,
if you're ahead, if you're tied late in games, you've got that killer instinct. Part of it though, and I think Fox in his defense would say this, is that he didn't go for it on fourth down a lot because he didn't believe in his offense. And I think we can all look at the players they had on offense, the scheme they had on offense, and think, yeah, I didn't really believe in it either. Now you've got to show confidence in your guys, and Nagy will have confidence in his scheme, his players, and to the point of being sort of in his DNA, I do think it is there.
Probably something to the head ball coach having his offense getting run as opposed to, you know, defensive side thing too. There's a confidence that's different there. In Orland Park, it's the Grouch. What's up, dude?
Yeah, hi, guys. I heard you just talking about Kevin White, trying to figure out what the over and under is going to be on how many games he's going to actually play in. And you guys were talking about Bemidji. My son played football up there for 4 years, so we were making that trip every weekend for 4 years.
That's cool. A drive.
Cool.
The Grouch, appreciate the phone call, man. That's a hell of a drive. Beautiful country up there, though.
Let's take a poll here. Over under on Kevin White games. I'm gonna say
played? Games played. Finished.
No, games played. Games played. He's got five in his career.
You know, games
three
finished
seasons,
doesn't
and four
work
of them
exactly
were
the same way as it does in baseball.
One
but
season.
I'm just talking about it. Like, let's see, maybe he gets into one and then plays.
Quality starts for Kevin White.
Yeah, quality starts for Kevin White. Let's go around the horn.
I think
then.
You've got to. You take his injury history into account, of course.
You have to. How can you?
Okay, but
it's the only history he's got.
Right. So, but you also understand that he's recovered from those injuries. So I would say you set it at. Let's just set it at eight. It's at eight. Either he plays or he doesn't. Right. It's not like he
yeah, I mean, it's
not
going to be.
Yeah, he doesn't get an ankle and like fight through it. No, it's either he's in or he's out.
So if he dresses?
Yeah, if he's active. If he's active.
Yeah, active is just. I don't.
If he dresses, he's playing.
I'd take.
Sure.
I'm going to say eight. And I'll take the over. I'm going to
take the over.
I'm going to bet on Kevin.
He's not. I mean, he's the organization's guy, right? I mean, Ryan Pace made him a draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
This is, I mean, that's, coming out of West Virginia, I was
chose him over Vic Beasley.
Stoked about anybody.
Yeah, chose him over Vic
for
Beasley.
For Kevin White, because I'd watched him all through college, and I don't care that he didn't run a route tree that was an NFL route tree, because I thought he had all the kind of speed and talent in the world. I really did. I'm not a very good scout of NFL talent, however. I take the over, because I think they're going to get him as many chances as possible. I think they're going to force feed, to a certain degree, his ability to play.
Here's the other thing, too. You can look at what they added with Allen Robinson and go, okay, he's your X. You know, he's your split end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Taylor Gabriel, who they seem to want to play outside. They want to play him as a Z, but he's probably more of a slot guy. Okay, so if he is more of a slot guy, who is your Z? Now, Kevin has always played X, but that's a question. Now, the cool thing about this offense, just from all of us watching it, is that they will move these receivers around a lot. And I think the normal labels and the peg that we put these guys in, maybe he's not going to apply as rigidly as it would in other offenses. So there'll be flexibility there. But when you think about depth at receiver, they don't really have it. Trey Burton is going to be a big part of the passing game, but we're talking about wide receiver
yeah,
here. Taylor Gabriel is going to have to show something playing on his third team.
Could he play the eight games, but then have actually less receptions on the season just because he dresses?
Than eight?
Yeah. Like, at some point, could, in theory, Javon Wims as a guy probably be more of a special teamer, but could he theoretically pass him on the depth chart?
Yeah, theoretically. I think so. I think that, you know, for as much as, Connor, you say that Kevin's draft status gives him the benefit of the doubt. We are toward. I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah,
it's
I wouldn't say necessarily benefit of the doubt. Just continued
It earns him some equity,
right?
For lack of a better description. But at some point, you're getting to the end of that road.
Totally.
Right. He's at the end of his contract this year. So what are they invested in him beyond this year, other than you know, reputation? If Javon Wims, who they did like a lot in camp, they liked his ability to go up and get the ball. And his ability to learn the offense. It sort of surprised them.
You watch some
bit
of that tape of him going over the goal line at Georgia three or four times. I mean, that dude will fight you.
Yeah. And he's been in big games. So that it's an interesting point. He doesn't have a lot of special teams experience, and obviously neither does Kevin. And that's an important thing for receivers on the depth chart at that level. We'll see it play out.
We got to hit the break. We'll keep it rolling, though. So Dave and Darren and Phil, hang on the line. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You got a question for Ask Rich, he's got answers, and we'll talk you through it as well. 1 week from Bears camp, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. He's Rich Campbell, in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. It's the Bernstein McKnight Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The demand is high for Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, Bears beat reporter. And here, filling in for Dan Bernstein, I'm Connor McKnight. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We're taking it up until 1 o'clock. We'll have crosstalk with Mac and Parkins at that point. And, I mean, heck, just roll on with Bears conversation as our plan for the next half hour. There's lots to talk about. We haven't talked a whole lot about the defensive side of the ball. We did talk about pressures and sacks a little bit, and a couple of texts have come in. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll go Dave and then Darren here, our next two calls. But if you want to call in, Still a couple of lines. 312-644-6767. This text, though, is just too good to not read. We were talking about pressures, and I force you to give me a couple of players who are going to step up and actually have sacks in this season.
Sacks.
That's right.
Okay, sacks.
This from the 630, though, it's this autocorrect just beat this man senseless. It's a fear metric to evaluate it as long as you don't have any sacks and are useless defensive linemen. This isn't baseball fantasy stats. I give a crap about pressures because good teams get sacks. Autocorrect is just a terrible, terrible thing.
It's motivation.
It's true, though. I mean, listen, if your coach is before the game, I mean, forget the Newt Rockne speech. It's like, kids, we win this. Y'all get to go out and have a great night. It's like Dangerfield at the end of Caddyshack.
You know what else the text line is fired up about? Benny Fowler. Have we forgotten Benny Fowler at outside receiver?
Yes, I have.
I have forgot him.
All right.
Look, Benny Fowler is a special teamer. If he's your starting outside receiver, you haven't made progress.
Mission accomplished. We have forgotten Benny Fowler. We're heading out to Arlington Heights, where it's Dave. Dave, what's your question for Rich Campbell?
Hello, guys. Yeah, my question is about Juwan Howard. When Nagy was first hired, there was a lot of talk, even on your station, about, you know, them not using him. What could they get in trade for him? And I think he's a stud, top 10 back. What do you think their plans are for him this year?
For Juwan Howard?
Solid assistant coach.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to bet. This is just me.
I was just going to wait to see what you were going to say.
Jordan Howard.
Yes.
Okay. Let's just autocorrect on the phone lines. It's here. We've installed it.
You're going to be kind on your birthday? Lines.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to be kind. Jordan Howard will get carries because I think they want to run the ball.
A minute, but I'm going
to
be kind.
Yeah, you're biting your tongue hard. They want to run the ball, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, is that our focus is so much on the passing game because that's the part that flashes in front of our eyes.
It's
right?
Also the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
And we understand what Nagy is. He wants to throw the ball. They don't want to be a ground and pound team, but he is your best offensive player, and it is what you have done well. So I don't think they're going to run as much outside zone as they have the last few seasons. They are going to run inside zone. They are going to mix it up with power, probably more power blocking than we've seen. And the option elements in the run game make it very important to establish Jordan Howard as a runner, because then some of the ball handling tricks that they're going to do with Howard, and then you get the receivers involved with jet sweep action, then you could start moving the pocket and stretch the field horizontally. That's really important. Howard's success running the ball is going to be a big part of that. Also, if you expect to win games, you know, put games away, you need a running game to do it. So I think they are going to have a place for him. I think the real question, though, is you understand what Kareem Hunt was for the Chiefs last year. He caught the ball. I think 60 receptions, just about. Howard has trouble catching, to put it kindly. He has stone hands. So they're going to have to figure out how to get him to a place where they can be a little bit more unpredictable, whether they can throw to Howard. If Howard is lining up wide, if he's splitting out wide, motioning wide, I'm not sure that that's a matchup that the Bears are going to be able to like and exploit because of Howard's unreliability catching the ball. That, to me, is where the questions really start to fill in around Jordan, because I think running the ball, he's going to be fine.
75 catches for Hill last year and 61 in 2016.
For Hunt.
Oh, I looked up Tyreek Hill for some reason, because I guess that's in my head.
No, hey, he's a good player, too.
Sorry, I was looking for Juwan Howard. That's who also I was looking for. Segment brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. If meat and bread are the backbone of a sub, then Mike's way is the heart and soul. Lettuce and tomatoes, onions and spices all drizzled in the juice. That's the difference. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above.
Top assistant on the Heat staff, by the way.
Top assistant, yeah, top.
And 53 catches for Kareem Hunt last year.
Oh, yeah, well, seven within. That's good. He looked for
8.6
right
yards per reception and three touchdowns. I mean, that's a big-time contributor in the passing game.
Jordan
Howard's not going to be that.
Iowa, it's Darren on the line. Darren, what's your question for Rich Campbell?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rich.
Yeah, what's
my
up, Darren?
My question is about James Daniels out of Iowa. I've watched 37 games of his, and he started his first 2 years at guard. Well, the center went to the NFL. They moved him over to center, and he stayed there until he came out in the NFL. I think he'd be a better pro at guard than center. If you watch him, if you put on the tape and watch him He's very athletic. And I think on the left side with Charles Williams Jr., I think that could be a really good tandem. I do. I'm going to hang up and let you talk. Thanks.
Yeah, well, the Bears agree. And, you know, we talked yesterday, Connor, about the Bears only having the benefit of the doubt in a few areas, right? The benefit of our doubt. I think they get it with Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, and he is the one who scouted James Daniels and likes him at guard. Now, there's part of it that goes to Cody Whitehair as a center, the fact that you don't want to restart at that all-important position again with a rookie, that Whitehair finally has momentum as a center. But most importantly, Harry Hiestand, the new offensive line coach, brought back from the college ranks and had the successful stint with the Bears Super Bowl team in the mid-2000s, likes that alignment, likes Daniels as left guard, Cody Whitehair at center. And so let's see how it goes. There's going to be some versatility there, and guys will practice at different spots during training camp. Maybe that gets blown out of proportion at the time. But the Bears have said this. They want Cody Whitehair to, you know, develop roots at a position, and it's going to be center, and that puts James Daniels at guard. And they like his ability to move, get down the field, his fluidity. He's only 20 years old, and we'll see if he starts out of the gate, but he'll be starting before long.
Yeah, we saw that phone call up on the board when we took the last break, and I mentioned to you, and I think Rick and Jay would agree with this. Other than Roquan Smith, first round pick, I mean, it's 8 overall, right? I mean, that's a top player.
Oh, yeah.
Other than him, I think we had the most positive, like, reaction and scouting reports. We had Kirk Ferentz on the show. We had draft Knicks who were, you know, knocking up positions and this, that, and the other. James Daniels, I mean, the conversation around him was as high and as bright as anybody in that draft, including the wide receiver they took, Anthony Miller, out of Memphis. I mean, this is James Daniels, the helium there is for real. At least you talk to everybody else around him.
Groomed by one of the best offensive line coaches out there and now joining one again. And people do recognize this as a position of need, just the line in general, the position group of need for the Bears. And it makes a lot of sense to move on. And I think you could look through a lot of draft analysis that Daniels was widely regarded as a player, probably was going to go higher than he ended up going.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
You understand what the Bears were after when they put the card in or turn the card in with his name on it.
Out in Kankakee, it's John. John, ask Rich.
John's hosting next week. Kankakee. Yeah. What's up, John?
I'm a big Bears fan, and I'm very hopeful for this season. And I like Trubisky, but it seems like the Bears and the experts, everybody is real high on him. And I guess my question is, why are we so high on Trubisky? He hasn't proven anything. I'm skeptical. What makes him so good?
I think this is a great question. I think it's completely fair to that he turned the ball over more last season. He had touchdowns 10-9.
I like that John
ratio.
wants to add something to your cornflakes here this morning. well, excuse me, John and Kankakee, I have a point. I think it's a fair one.
Yeah, and Mitch has to prove himself because he's only played 12 games in the NFL and 13 starts in North Carolina. So the sample size for him is very small. And I think what stands out about him are, first of all, intangibles that the Bears, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised, but have been extremely reassured by how he has carried himself through what was a bit of an uncomfortable situation last season, coming in as the number three and then taking over. So he's got the leadership and relatability that his predecessor did not. And then you see the athleticism. So he was accurate in college. That's one of the traits that was most heralded about him. Judging him off his rookie season in that regard with the cast of receivers he had and the fact that he wasn't the starter throughout the entire training camp and first month, probably let's better off waiting to judge his accuracy.
We had, just for point of emphasis here, we had Dan Orlovsky, who, congratulations to him, he's got the new gig at the mothership, and we'll never hear from him again because that's what they do, but he's turned into a terrific analyst at quarterbacks.
Big time.
And the reason that we had, that Jay saw him and wanted to have him on the show, and he was great, an awesome interview, want to go back and like listen to it, but Jay saw this and saw him breaking down a throw that Mitchell Trubisky had made last season.
NFL throw?
Yeah, an NFL. It was an incomplete throw. The receiver had dropped. Forget which bum was out there and had dropped it, but it was a breadbasket toss. He dropped it into the bucket, And it clanked along on the sidelines and went out of bounds, and it was an incomplete pass. But that's the throw that Dan Orlovsky is picking out and going, this is why that guy's an NFL quarterback. This is why people are excited about him. Mitchell got out of the pocket, dropped it into the bucket, and it went for an incompletion. But when quarterbacks, analysts are taking those plays and going, here's why, you understand, I think, what Mitchell had to go through last season to a certain degree.
Yeah, and to add one thing for John there is that I think Mitch proved that he is an ascending player when it comes to passing from the pocket. When he got to the Bears last year, so much of our talk was about his shotgun usage at North Carolina and what that offense asked him to read in terms of just as a drop back passer. I mean, they ran spread, so a lot of it was getting the ball out quickly. But I think Mitch improved as a pocket passer, and this is one of the big reasons why the Bears drafted him over Deshaun Watson, is that their belief that Mitch is going to be a better drop back pocket passer. Now, they can use his athleticism to move the passing point, but I think Mitch got better. Now, you go to the Lions game from last year, that Saturday game in Detroit where he was intercepted, there are steps back, right? There are growing pains there. And then there are third and 10-plus throws in that game where he's also threading the needle. And he just needs to start, as he gains experience, accumulating more of those impressive throws. I think Nagy's going to help him a lot in terms of reads and the offense. As his footwork becomes more comfortable, as he gets more comfortable with decision-making in the offense, I think the accuracy is going to show, and then the decision-making really becomes the heart of the matter.
There's a couple of questions on the text line, 67011, that all kind of play to the same angle, and it's about Mitchell, and it's more so, it's less about his talent levels than it is about being able to play quarterback at a certain, you know, it's the crib thing, right? You either are or you aren't when they lift you out your mama's crib. And there's a question about whether he's got that or doesn't. We'll circle back to that when we get back. We got to take a break. By the way, Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Wildcats, they host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. He's Rich Campbell, Bears writer for the Chicago Tribune. He's in for Dan Bernstein today and tomorrow. I'm Connor McKnight. We'll circle back to this little point that a lot of the texters have asked about Mitchell Trubisky when we come back here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, yeah, if you're going to play them in back-to-back weeks, you got to win both of those damn games. Not often that the NFL schedules, you know, Detroit and then Detroit, but if you got to make those trips, you do it. Been playing a lot of my solid tape.
Dang, I didn't have the headset
past.
On. I missed that one.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure Rick's got it queued up for another run.
I'll give you my email address. The Send Cubs.
You do it again, jerk.
So good, man.
A little confident I was saying, well, you got to have them both. Like, I clearly said the same city twice. Well, you got to win them both. Tell you what, it's a hard-hitting analysis and an update there. The Cubs on deck luncheon with All-Star catcher Wilson Contreras and pitcher Mike Montgomery and myself and Dan Bernstein. It's July 23rd at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern. It's presented by Xfinity and AZEK Building Products. You can visit 670thescore.com/ondeck for information on how to get tickets and attend the event. The first one was a blast. I assume the second one will be as well. We get to talk with an all-star. We get to talk with Mike Montgomery, who has solidified that Cubs rotation. Should be a fun one, and it'll just be, let's see, July 23rd. It's just a handful of days after the all-star break wraps up, too. So Michael will more than likely be coming off a start in that one as well. It'll be body of work to get to. We got Rich Campbell in for Dan. Rich, of course, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. And we just finished up a long Ask Rich segment. Appreciate you sticking through this, man. That was we put you through the grinder today.
You know what this does? It sort of shifts my mentality to football season in a good way.
Really?
Like, let's go.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate
it. Not to oversell it, but you just sort of get in that mode where then you're thinking about it and you're trying to work through all this stuff. And it's good to know what the people want.
So
what the people want to know.
We had a number of texts, 67011. Yeah. I mean, the phone calls
get
were
back
great.
I can get back to some of these, too, even
yeah,
after
you're typing
off
like a madman. I'm trying. A real journalist here getting back to everybody. So if you texted, Rich is more than likely going to text you back in the next 20 minutes or so. You could probably just stay there while Mac and Parkins do their show. I don't think they'll mind at all. Just type a bunch of replies out.
I'll be quiet.
So, but there had been a theme, really, through the text lines. The phone calls were varied, and a lot of different subjects were hit on there. But as we talked about this offense and Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, the second overall draft pick from last season, there's a question about whether or not he's the guy. There's a question about whether or not he's able to solidify the offense in his brain and make it work for him. And to some degree, we talked about this yesterday, Rich, that this offense is going to be so multiple in the routes that are being run that every route, really essentially at the top of it or at a break of it,
yeah,
is going to have solutions to each and every defense.
Supposed to.
Supposed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah, in its ideal form.
Right. Which means essentially that every receiver is running one of three routes on every play. I picked three as an arbitrary number. But one of a number of routes on yeah. every play, and based on where that defense is aligned, Mitchell is reading that guy, that defensive player. He's reading the keys from that defense. He's reading the body language as a receiver, you know, at yeah. the line,
if
whether the, or not that shoulder's
if
out
the safety
or in.
Turns his shoulders, then your receiver is breaking in, and so Mitch has got to read that safety, and the receiver has to read the safety, and then the timing needs to be right, and that's one route on one play of hundreds.
Which, to me, means that the Bears, scouting department, Ryan Pace, the general manager, the coach that was brought in to no doubt work with and, you know, kind of sign off on Mitchell Trubisky to come in here and work. Granted, it's his first NFL job, head coaching job, but still, you want to have that guy believe in the quarterback you're aligning him with. That means that Mitchell has to be smart. And I mean that from a schematic sense, right? He has to have more than just talent. He has to be, because at the end of the day, when you guys are asking your questions after the game at the Cutler or at the podium, either way, when you're asking your questions, you may not know which route Wims was supposed to run or Robinson was supposed to run, because it's up to Mitchell to read it right, and it may not look the way offenses have looked before.
Yeah, we're not going to have a great read or the answer key, really, because you'll see maybe we see completions that are wrong, right? That something happens on the field and the read's wrong, and hey, he ran the wrong route, and Mitch still sees him and anticipates it. The one thing that we can keep an eye on throughout training camp, and this goes for any team, is you understand a quarterback's comfort with the offense on his ability to get the ball out. When you see a quarterback drop back in camp and he's holding it and he's holding it, and then the play kind of dies and he just sort of scrambles away, he's not seeing the field. They're not seeing the field properly. And even through the offseason, I felt like we didn't see that as much as I thought we might, that Mitch was still getting the ball out. They did a really good job in the offseason of getting lined up, which sounds like the most elementary.
Like,
yeah, that's your participation
like
ribbon.
It's your millennial Montgomery Biscuits night.
But no small accomplishment for a quarterback who's learning a new offense and a lot of different verbiage. And it is step one out of the process. Get your guys lined up. And that's another part of this offense that I think fans will enjoy, is that we're not going to see the same players lining up at the same positions all the time. There'll be a lot of versatility, a lot of diversity with where players are positioned, the matchups they try to exploit. And just keep in mind what we see now, what we see September 9th, 10th, that's the starting point. You know, that's not what they are going to be. That's what they are at the time. Mm-hmm. And so,
like I said,
they signed Taylor Gabriel. They also drafted Anthony Miller. Okay, if one of those guys is your guy on a playoff team, then you figure that out this year, and then next year is your year, right? I mean, this is still in many ways a breeding ground and a proving ground, and it's going to be difficult for us to evaluate a lot of it because, like you said, the complexity of it all and the fact that we're not familiar to seeing this kind of stuff here.
To a certain degree, though, if Mitchell is the guy, if he's right, if that development is evident, it won't be hard to see. I mean, because
totally.
he'll make it easy because of his reads, because of his ability, because of, you know, however
and
he's
scoring,
gelling
right?
with that.
Yeah, they'll just be moving the ball.
Or if they're not, they're moving the ball one way or the other. Yeah, I mean, if it's right, it won't be difficult to tell. If it's anything other than that, which isn't. If it's in that gray area,
and it probably will.
If the development's this non-linear thing, this gray area type deal, if it's, you know, Aaron Judge's second half as opposed to his first last season, then that will be more difficult. And you hope, I mean, at least from my perspective, and I'm sure from yours, you hope that coaching staff is willing to talk a little bit more and describe this process rather than say nothing.
Yeah,
year in and year out.
Nagy is in an unfamiliar position of having to speak every day, and we did have a question on the text line talking about John Fox's media blackouts and whether those are going to continue. Yes, they are going to continue. And in fact, Nagy is being even more restrictive with media during training camp. He's moving us to a media viewing area. So he's moving us off the sideline.
It's
in
like
training
a free
camp.
Speech zone in Arrested Development. Yeah. Just a cage outside of a
That's
farm.
It. That's it, right?
So you're underneath the bleachers.
Yeah, not just a little bit better than that, but I'm bringing my binoculars, put it that way. But, you know, in fairness to Nagy, he has been more forthcoming.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost the game. He hasn't had any of his play calling second-guessed yet. That is a process for him as a first-time head coach at any level. And in this big market, a market that is starved for success with an impatient fan base, justifiably so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's results-based. So hopefully he can talk us through it and give us an understanding of what he's doing with Mitch.
Segment brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. He's Rich Campbell in for Dan Bernstein. He's back tomorrow, so perhaps there's a second edition of Ask Rich. I'm sure we'll talk a good number of Bears. We will talk with Mack and Parkins when we come back. A little transition on the way. 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.